Every feast and festival in the church year has a purpose. Christmas, for example, shows us that Jesus became one of us to save us from our sins. Easter shows us how he died and rose again in order to deliver us from our slavery to sin. And Pentecost shows us that the Holy Spirit has come to us. But why did that happen? What exactly does that mean? Well, we see the reason for it, or at least some of the reasons for it, in our reading from the first part of Acts chapter 2. So if we want to understand Pentecost Christians, we first have to see that Pentecost is something that is not new. Christmas and Easter are new because Jesus Christ has come and we are remembering what he did on those days. But Pentecost is actually something that comes from the Old Testament. But it's something that was called by a different name in the Old Testament. And if we want to understand what that looked like, we actually have to look at a few of the Old Testament feasts together. Three in particular: Passover, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. So Passover is the first one. And of course, that happens when we celebrate Easter. And Passover was when Israel sacrificed a lamb for each family to the Lord as a way of remembering what God had done for them, how he had brought them out of Egypt, how he had brought them out of slavery, and how he had made them his own people. And that lamb was also a sacrifice for sin. This one, at least, we understand the most because it's something that we see all the time, even in the New Testament. But the day after Passover came another feast, what was called the Feast of First Fruits. And this feast in particular is described in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23 tells us, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'When you come into the land that I give you, and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.'" So in other words, the Feast of First Fruits was the day when Israel brought the first of the harvest to the Lord. They had put in the sickle, they were starting to bring in the wheat, and they gave the very first produce to the Lord on that day. It was a way of giving thanks to God for what he had given to them. But it took place on the Sunday after Passover, on the day after the Passover. And that's something too important to remember for later. But the 50 days later, 7 full weeks later after that, came what was called the Feast of Weeks. And this is also described in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 23 again says, "You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord." So if the Feast of First Fruits then was the very first of the harvest, at the beginning of the harvest, the Feast of Weeks was at the end of the harvest. It's when you brought the best of your crop and you offered that up to the Lord as a way of giving thanks for all that he had given. This is also why the Feast of Weeks is sometimes called the Feast of Harvest in other places in the Old Testament. But this was later then called Pentecost, because the word Pentecost means 50. So Pentecost then, 50 days after Passover, or the Feast of Weeks, was a harvest festival, the day in which you gave thanks to God for all the things that he had given you in that year. It's also worth noting at this point that the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, was one of the 3 great festivals of the Old Testament. Every year, all the males of Israel were supposed to gather together to celebrate these three great festivals, and Pentecost was one of them. That's why we see the crowd here in Acts chapter 2. They've come together according to the commandment of God, coming from all over the world to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, as God had told them to do. Now, why is all of that so important? How does that help us to understand Pentecost? Well, we have to see how all of this points forward to what we now see happening in the New Testament. Passover looks forward to the sacrifice of Christ. Because remember, Jesus died on Passover. He was killed on the Passover. And in the New Testament, Jesus is frequently called the Passover Lamb. Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians 5 says, "For Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed." So the feast of Passover then was fulfilled on Good Friday, when Jesus, the true Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed to deliver us from our slavery to sin. The Feast of First Fruits, the day after Passover, looks forward to Easter, because again, Jesus has now risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of the new life that we have in God. Paul even calls him the first fruits again in 1 Corinthians 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So first fruits then looks forward to the resurrection of Jesus, on which we give thanks for the life we now have in him. But then 50 days later comes Pentecost. And Pentecost looks forward to the great harvest of the world, when men from all over the world are coming to know God and call on him by faith. And we see this even in the list of nations that we have here in Acts chapter 2. Jews from all over the world, east to west, north to south, coming to Jerusalem to hear the proclamation of the gospel and believing the word that they have heard. This is the great harvest of men, the great harvest of the world. And we are part of it, Christians. This is a harvest that goes on right up to the end of all things. We are being gathered in like wheat into the barns of God, so that we now belong to him. All of this shows us one part of the meaning of Pentecost. The second part of the meaning of Pentecost has to do with Mount Sinai. Because Israel in the Old Testament came to Mount Sinai at about the same time. We're told in Exodus chapter 19, "On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai." Passover always takes place on a new moon. And so the third new moon after that would be two full months later. That's when they came to Mount Sinai. So even though it was kind of roughly the same time period, it wasn't exactly the same, it was close enough that later on God's people began to celebrate them together. Pentecost became a way of remembering what God had done for them at Mount Sinai, how he had given them the covenant, and how he had made them his people in a way that they had never been before. But that was the Old Testament. We now live in the New Testament, and God promised that this New Testament would come. Jeremiah tells us, chapter 31, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." It was a new covenant because God's law would no longer be written on stone, but on their hearts. No longer would they be separated from God as they were before. No longer would anyone have to say to his brother, "Know the Lord," because they would all know him from the greatest to the least. In this new covenant, they would become a new people. And it would be a covenant which would never be broken, a covenant which would never come to an end. And Christians, with the giving of the Holy Spirit, this new testament, this new covenant, has begun. Ezekiel tells us, chapter 36, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Pentecost is a new Sinai, the beginning of the New Testament, when the Spirit is given to all and hearts are made new. So the coming of the Spirit means that we are no longer under the Old Testament, but under the New, walking in the light of God forever. This is the second part of the meaning of Pentecost. There's one more part that we want to look at, and that is seen in the miracle itself. Why does the Holy Spirit come in this way in particular? Rushing down like a great wind, dividing like fire upon all who are in the house. What is he trying to show us? Well, it's not like he never came before to his people in the Bible. All throughout the Scriptures, all throughout the Old Testament, we see the Spirit coming to the people of God. He would come to the judges, he would come to the kings, he would move the prophets to speak for God. He was doing all kinds of things for his people. He's always been among them. Pentecost is not something new, as if he's never come before at all. Rather, what makes it different, Christians, is that in the Old Testament, he did not come to everyone. Some people had him, but most did not. But now at Pentecost, he comes to all of them, rushing upon all the people of God, filling them all without distinction. Men and women, slave and free, all together speaking the mighty works of God. Every Christian is now filled with the Spirit of the living Lord. That's what makes the New Testament so much greater than the Old. But the miracle itself also shows us this. They were speaking in other languages, fluently, languages they'd never studied, languages they had no idea how to speak. One would be speaking Latin, another would be speaking Greek, another speaking Aramaic, and so forth. It was a very great miracle indeed. And it was a sign that the Spirit had in fact come among them. And it's something we even see in the Old Testament too. Not that we see speaking in other languages in the Old Testament, but whenever the Spirit came, something amazing would happen. Take, for example, 1 Samuel 19. Saul went there to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. And as he went, he prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. The Spirit coming to Saul caused him to do something he had never done before. He started to speak like one of the prophets of old. And so it was with all the others too. The Spirit would rush upon them and they would do amazing things for God. It was a proof that they now possessed the Spirit. The tongues were the same way. They showed the Spirit had come among God's people and that he had been given to all just as God promised that he would be. But this brings us then to the last point. It shows us also what is meant by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something that we heard about all the way back in the beginning of chapter 1, when Jesus promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Being baptized with the Spirit means that the Spirit is given to all Christians without distinction. We all possess the Spirit. We all belong to God. And the miracle proved that this had happened. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the miracle itself. You'll sometimes hear people speaking that way. who will say things like, you can't really know that you have the Holy Spirit until you do something miraculous, like speaking in tongues or doing any of these things we see happening at Pentecost. But that's not the case, Christians. Miracles show us that the Spirit has come, so that all doubts are now taken away. Even if we don't perform any miracles, that doesn't mean that we haven't been baptized with the Spirit. We now have the Spirit, and He is working His fruits within us, causing us to bear fruits like peace, patience, joy, all of these things. He is changing us, transforming us, making us become more and more like Jesus. Now, could God still work those miracles among us today? Sure, if He wanted to. He's God, after all. He can do whatever He wants. But we don't need the miracles to know that the Spirit is among us, because there will never be another Pentecost. It only had to come once. It is the proof that the Spirit is now in the world and that we now walk in Him. And we were baptized with the Spirit the hour that we first believed. Now, Christians, next week we are going to be looking at Peter's sermon in the next part of Acts chapter 2. But we have seen now three meanings of Pentecost in what we've covered for tonight. That it is the beginning of the harvest of the world, that it is the beginning of the New Testament, and it also shows us that we now have the Holy Spirit. And we can give thanks to God for all of these things, that we are being gathered in, that we are part of the New Testament, and that we are being made into the temples of the living God through the gift of His mighty and living Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty Father, who sent the Holy Spirit upon your people at Pentecost to write the law on their hearts forever, send us the Spirit also in our days to build us up in the truth and to strengthen us in our faith, so that we may walk in your ways to everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.